Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
I am here.
Okay, guys. This is another independent POV podcast, and my guest again is Heather. How are we doing?
I am great. How are you?
Good. How's your March so far?
My March so far is fabulous.
Okay.
Really on, you know, being intentional about getting some things done, and also intentional about stirring up trouble on Facebook.
I see.
And this is just good trouble. Actually, it's not my trouble, it's theirs. Yes, but no, March has been great.
Okay. We're here again, and this is about 1 year post.
Yes.
I pretty much agree with. You said, I'm going to speak on the matter of white Republicans calling black conservatives racist because we talk about race. I have yet to meet a racist black conservative. In fact, is the opposite. I do not see my race as an impediment. However, I will speak on issues of race as I see it. I am black. If my reference to race offends, it's on you. Please expand on that.
It is bothersome to me. And thank you for having me again, Byron. I appreciate it. All right. And I'm finding that whenever, as a black conservative and as someone who has just, you know, politically and socially and so forth, believe financially in the concepts of conservatism and believe in America, and capitalism, and that in this country anyone can be what they choose to be. And I'm an immigrant, so I came to this country from another country. I'm a Caribbean immigrant, and appreciate the fact that this country adopted me, allowed me to be a citizen. Now, I think that's something that we take for granted, especially given what's happening now, that people are coming across the border and they don't have to go through the process. They are being given something that was always precious. It's been squandered by the Democrats. But that's another story. We're talking about black conservatives and how we are then being told that we are not to speak on race, that somehow because we are Republicans or because we're conservatives, and race is an invisible thing. And so I challenge that. I think it's important to talk about race, and I don't see that being asked of any other ethnic group other than of black people. But it's not being so much asked. I mean, I understand when white conservatives are uncomfortable with black conservatives speaking on race, when I say I understand it, I mean it's just an indication of their discomfort with the whole race issue. But it always gets to me when black conservatives, you know, assume the same attitude that race no longer matters simply because they're conservatives. And that is not true. The issue of race in America has not disappeared. I mean, the issue of racism, the issue of the impact of race did not disappear because black people became politically conservative.
Right.
I think that we more than ever have a mess, more than any other group, can speak on it and can speak on what it is to be, why it is that conservatism is what we should follow. The belief in America and the belief in what it can do is what we should follow. More than anything, black conservatives can talk about that.
Yeah.
and we don't become politically conservative. And I've been politically conservative for a very long time.
Right.
And some of the people who are speaking on these things have just come into the Republican Party, and I speak out because the Republican Party is no longer conservative. It's not conservative. If it were not for Donald Trump, a whole lot of us would probably not even call ourselves Republicans anymore.
Right.
But those who believe in true conservatism, and we look at the pioneers of conservatism that were Black, some of the greatest conservatives were Black people.
Yes.
But they never ignored the race issue. It was clearly understood that race is still an issue. It's just we don't believe, or I don't believe, that race stops me from accomplishing what I need to accomplish.
Right.
But I'm still going to talk about race. I'm going to make reference to race because I believe that the Republican Party has ignored the race issue. And how can we attract others if we as Black conservatives pretend that race no longer matters? I think that's just insulting and delusional, because it still matters. It's still an issue.
Right, especially even more things that have happened to Black people as a whole.
Right.
You know, look at the deaths right now leading up to, you know, George Floyd, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even the Black men, Black women, to getting homes. Right. There's even accounts where banks have not allowed, again, Black people not to get homes.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So yeah. There's still a race component where there's a still, when it comes to the wealth gap, apparently Black people are still we were those individuals get kind of like pushed aside,
right,
and never get pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we get something, but not what we want, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially if we're especially Black Americans, which are the foundational, of this American country, and,
right?
And I mean, like, as a Black conservative, I do agree with reparations. I mean, I can still be conservative and still vote for the Republican Party, but I still can agree that Black people owe reparations, you know.
That reparations, of course, is a dividing line for Black conservatives. But I think it's a discussion. I'm not a foundational American.
Right.
And I don't get involved in that discussion. I'm not foundational. But I think it's a discussion that definitely needs to be had between conservatives. There's within the conservative movement, Black conservatism, Black conservatives need to decide what they believe, what they stand for, what they are going to. But honestly, we don't all think alike. We have we have our own feelings about things. As a foundational American, you have an insight in something that I entirely respect, which is one of the reasons why, as an immigrant, I don't think I have a say. You know what I mean?
Right.
In reparations. Now, if you ask me about reparations for slaves in Jamaica, then we can talk.
Right.
But I think that reparations, which may not be a bad idea, you know, slavery. But you're right. That's one of the issues that separate some Black conservatives. And it definitely is not supported by the Republican Party.
Right. And most of your, I guess, quote unquote, Black conservatives are pretty much overseas, which especially the famous ones.
Mm-hmm.
I call them the political entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
Like your Candace Owens, mm-hmm. like she's not foundational, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Then there was like this African dude from Africa says, black people don't, you know, owe reparations. Like, you're not from here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't really mm-hmm. speak on that.
I agree. I'm even more radical about that than I want to even articulate about some of the people that I believe should not have. They're free to give their opinion,
right?
But what do they really have a say? And also, I mean, if people abandon the game, and they know, and they're now privileged. I mean, that's, you know, they're privileged now. Are they a part of it, really? Are they a part of, now that they've gone to the other side, like they've gone to other countries or something like that? I mean, you know, that is something that I think should be under consideration as well. People have to, I mean, if people are going to fight for something, they have to fight for it here.
Right.
Here in this country where they were born, where, you know, this is the country. You have to fight for it here.
Wow.
You know, so.
And, also, I mean, I think Black Americans that get reparations is going to benefit the country, really. I mean, it's going to go right back into the country, obviously. I think, but just on the race part, where I see, like, during the time of the Super Bowl on Twitter, I guess a white Republican was like, oh, the halftime show was too black. You know, like,
yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be too black, because it's like, but then they'd be like, well, why you gotta make everything race? I'm like, you just said the Super Bowl was too black. It should have been like, it's all American, but you literally just said it was just too black. And I don't know why you offended, because I would think, for a Republican sense, like, this is America. You know what I'm saying? This is.
Yeah, no.
You know?
I agree with you. I think a lot of times these white Republicans are uncomfortable with race, they're comfortable with the black race. They don't, you know, they don't mind us being Republicans, but they don't want us to be black Republicans. At least not vocal about it, not proud of it, not stand in the fact that we are, you know, we are black people. They're uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, and not just Republicans, but Democrat too, because, like, we can't call ourselves Black Americans on the right. And then on the left, like, we gotta be POC, people of color. And I'm like, you know, we literally 60 years ago, there was a thing called Jim Crow, where we was referred as color people. And you're kind of pushing us back, you know, into that color thing.
Well, the Democrats, I see, that's one of the reasons why. Because the Democrats, that is their... That's what they do. They have always seen black people as expendable. And that's one of the reasons why they're now bringing over a complete new set of quote-unquote underclass. Because they now believe they're going to need to prop up. I mean, when they push abortion, when they imprison black people, when they have introduced things into the black community, like they introduce drugs into the black community, they imprison a whole generation of black men, taking them away from their families and their children, with laws that are pretty draconian, you know, like the three strikes you're out law.
Right. Right.
They target our, you know, they target children in, they target the little kids in school from junior high school for prison. And because the Black family in general is weakened, because the state becomes the parachute for the Black mother, the single mother. She yeah. can get welfare, she can get Section 8, she can get child tax credits.
Right.
Thousands and thousands of dollars. She does not need to be married to have children. She doesn't need the father of her children. She doesn't need any of that. And she can boast that she, you know, she's taking care of herself and her children when the government is doing it. But there's just so much dysfunction that the Democrats, they've done the job they set out to do. Well, they need a new set to replace Black people. Though, so, you know, but these people are not foundational. They're not, you know, they're not culturally American. They're just all those types of things. I'm not so sure the Democrats can depend on them to, you know, in a generation from now to be Democrats. They may themselves want to be Republicans because of whatever reason, but so that's what's going on, you know. And so the Democrats are terrible, and the Republicans, the Republican Party just doesn't think they needed Black people. All the years I've been voting Republican, I never saw any outreach to Black people. I never saw Black people encouraged to be conservatives and to be Republicans. And when a Black person became a Republican, it was because they themselves studied it, figured it out. There wasn't any outreach or any education around conservatism and why Black people should be conservative. And we are the most, Black conservatives are the least racist people. We're the most egalitarian people. We are the people most appreciative of America and the good that it provides. You know? So to say, and so for anybody to say that a Black conservative who speaks on race is racist, which I get accused of that, you know, it doesn't bother me. I just think it's stupid, you know, because yeah. I think the most racist people, some of the most racist people I've encountered are actually Black Democrats.
Right.
It doesn't make sense because they still vote for the worst of the worst in the white people. They still vote for them.
Yeah.
Right. But race is a very uncomfortable discussion for some Black conservatives and some white conservatives.
And most of those Black, you know, conservatives are, I mean, some may be foundational, but most of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some are Jamaican.
Yes.
You know, some are like Caribbean, and they kind of pander to white Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's sad.
Yes. I have to admit that the pandering comes from, it's because of money.
Yeah.
A lot of it's because of money. So it is unfortunate to pander to the Republicans. And you mentioned that a lot of the Black conservatives are not American. Well, they are American by naturalization. They're just not by birth.
Right.
Right. So, and that makes sense because they haven't had the experience of being born in America. It's just a different mindset. You know, it's something that has to, that's what I was said to you earlier. I said, because I'm not foundational, then I don't have a say in the discussion about reparations. I may have my personal opinion,
right,
But as for it being an opinion that, you know, comes from the same place as yours, it doesn't.
Right. And but I appreciate what you're doing. We need more, at least, honest people. Mm-hmm. I'm glad people are just being straight up and honest.
Yeah.
And not be afraid to talk about race, because it's still a proponent that we're dealing with, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Yes. No.
Republicans won't have to just swallow it.
No, it needs to be talked about more.
Yeah, it needs to be talked about and it needs to be dealt with, so we can, as a country and society, can move forward, you know?
I agree. And we have to, I support Donald Trump and his presidency, yeah, but we cannot expect Donald Trump to speak for us as Black people.
That's true.
And you know, he does the best he can, but it's unfair to expect him. He's still a white man. He's still a white man. He doesn't know what it is to be a Black man.
Right.
And so, and I mean, I have no problems with that. It is what it is. But at least he's not afraid. But why is he the only one? Where are the Black conservatives to speak on these things? Why does he have to speak? And then the people around him that President Trump is relying on to speak on these issues are former Democrats.
That's true.
Not you know, conservatives who have been around a long time. In fact, those conservatives tend to rush to say, "Oh, how dare they talk about race?" They rush to do that.
Right.
So, yeah.
And also, like, I guess, Black people that he's talking to are either foundational, and they're, again, still pandering, because they're getting paid for.
Right.
And that's bad, and they should just be straight up with it, you know what I'm saying? Even though they see it, I mean, they like to say things like, there's no fathers in the home, and which is true, but there's still, like, a race problem with both sides, with the left and the right, that Black people have.
Right.
Politically and economically.
So what do you think are the main issues?
I think it's economically, where there's such a, you know, financial gap, and your foundational people, because we're the foundational, which I'm a foundational Black American, and that we've been literally thrust into, quote unquote, do it by the bootstrap, and that really doesn't help, because most of your white Americans have the government help them.
That's true.
I mean, they have had the, you know, the Homestead Act.
That's true.
We were segregated. Because when you're talking about Jim Crow, it's Jim Crow laws. So we were segregated by law. You know, this is a law that was passed, you know.
Right.
Saying that we couldn't get into banks, we had to be certain this and that. We had our Black Wall Streets being bombed and destroyed. We had when it came to the military, a lot of military vets couldn't get the what's that bill? It was a bill for goodness, where is it? It wasn't a homestead, but it was. Oh, here we go. Like, we couldn't get the GI Bill. Black Americans who fought in the army couldn't get the GI Bill.
Okay.
And then there was the Wagner Act, the National Labor and Relations Act, and then the Federal Housing Administration. What else? There was a lot of bills passed that a lot of Black Americans couldn't get. And to say that we gotta do this bootstrap, this trying to get financial gain, where white Americans and even Native Americans literally had a government just like, there you go.
Yeah, that's so true. And now they're doing that with the illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
They're getting aid that's going to put them in a much better position.
Right.
Than Americans and Black Americans.
Right. And then, like, you expect Black, regardless if you're a Black Democrat or Black, Black liberal or a Black conservative, to turn a blind eye on that is ludicrous.
Right.
And pretend like that didn't happen or that's not happening, and it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what banks are doing and still continue to do.
Right.
I mean, people have to, even property, owning property. Right. Excuse me. The appraisers are racist. They come they'll come into the home and appraise it at low just because a Black person lived in it.
Right.
And that takes wealth out of the hands of Black people.
Right.
These are things that Black conservatives won't talk about because of some of the things you just said.
Right.
Black conservatives, it's always been my problem with Black conservatives. They think being a Black conservative means you become a white person and everything else is wiped out. No. You know, you don't become a white person, everything, suddenly you have the same benefits and suddenly you're seen as a white person. No. Even if you marry a white person, and which is another thing, they do, you know, some of them do. Just because you're married to a white person doesn't mean you're white.
Right.
You still seen as a Black person when you walk out the door.
Right.
And these issues, those things that you just talked about, those are the things I think Black conservatives need to talk about, because as I said, who knows better? Who can talk about those things, you know, from a rational standpoint?
Right. And like, there are Black conservatives are actually, you know, saying something about it. Her name is, I don't know if you know her. Let's see. Because she follows me on Twitter.
Is she a part of the, what is it? Conscious Conservative? Is that her?
Guess her name is Denise.
Okay, she's on Twitter. I'll look her up right now.
Yeah, Denise Pamela Long, and she's a Black conservative Republican that also says that Black Americans are owed reparations. And I'm thankfully.
Pamela. Oh yeah. Pamela Denise Long. Okay. From a radical Republican perspective. I'll take a look at what she says. Well, I mean, one of the thing is, I think is that I mean, as I said, I'm not going to speak on reparations, but what are some of the other, what are some of the issues that are affecting Black people in this space? And that's also, I think that reparations is a real issue, and I think a lot of Black Americans are unhappy about it. So,
also, and then this other thing where people believe that Trump needs to be in prison, which is boo boo.
You mean the people believe that Trump needs to be in prison?
Yeah.
I know. It's just foolishness. What did he do to be in prison?
Right.
I
guess he hurt your feelings.
Well, I think one of the things... I think what Trump did, and I'm just speculating, is that he brought in people into the Republican Party and voting that they don't want there.
Right.
I've been a Republican, Byron, for a long time. And I used to secretly, I would have to keep it secret in the workplace because it was just always... I was the only one, and a Black Republican. Everybody else was Black, was a Democrat, and you know, you opened your mouth, said you're Republican, you may not have a job, you know. And thank God it doesn't matter now because I work for myself. But you said you're Republican. Trump, when he became president, he when he was campaigning, he did outreach to bring in more Black people, more Black voters.
Right.
And it seems, you know, diverse. Black voters with all kinds of different feelings and different perspectives and stuff like that. But it is a problem. How do we close this gap? Because when you have the radical Republicans, Black Republicans, what does that mean? How does that fit into the current Republican Party? I personally would like to see more men, Black men, at the forefront of this.
Yeah.
Speaking out. I think that's going to be important. I think that's going to be very important.
And also, Citibank did a discovery that if Black people were at the financial where we were supposed to be, the GDP of the country will be a lot better than it is now.
I agree with that. Absolutely. 100%.
And it's like, 100%. Well, duh, but I think there's a lot of white people where they're liberal, Democrat, or Republican, or conservative, quite jealous, which I'm like, we're actually contributing within America.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you want to claim us as Americans, then why not? Why not let Black Americans compete like they're supposed to and help the country be the number one spot?
That's an interesting question, because the suggestion is that Black people cannot compete today because of they're still behind, right? So I think that is true, that we're still behind, but does that stop us from achieving something? That is, you know, where, and I'm coming from a different space. So you understand, I'm coming from a Caribbean culture where we come into a country and we just work, we build up, but a lot of, you know, Jamaicans still have their heart and soul in the Caribbean, you know, in Jamaica. So it's a totally different mindset. That's not mine, because I consider myself fully American, even though I wasn't born here. So, but how do we teach the young people? Because it's true, a young Black man is going into the workspace. He's gonna struggle to make the kind of money, to the same money that his white counterpart is gonna make.
Talking to Black boys about it, knowing that a lot of Black boys growing up not with a nuclear family, that's gonna be hard because the mom's there, you know.
Yeah.
And you got this space called Red Pill and Manosphere, and you got different people like Tate, like Andrew Tate, if you know who Andrew Tate is.
Yes.
Which I think, in my opinion, he's a necessary evil, you know, in my opinion, because he's teaching boys, like, you're not, I mean, people are not going to like you when you become a man, you know?
Yeah.
And it's bad because he's telling you he's not their father. He's none of these men's father.
Right.
But the father ain't there to actually tell the boys, you know what I'm saying? Instead, you got this internet figure telling them that.
Yeah.
He's seeing that, you know what I'm saying? Because he's opened their eyes at a younger age, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And once they open the eyes, like, yo, this man is right.
Yeah.
Like, I can't really be moving like I've been moving because I could go into jail. Women got rights to stuff.
Right.
I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Once they get fully aware of that, they're like, yeet, I don't want to be, you know, talking to girls, like, you know, which I'm pretty sure, you know, they talking to girls appropriately, but sometimes not, but just be aware that, you could go to jail, be an early father.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what age too, because if you look at some of the public, you know, men, John Major, I was reading about him the other day.
Yeah,
imagine working hard to build your career.
And watch you get snuffed out just snuffed like that.
Bill Cosby snuffed out. Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't matter the age,
right? We even got teachers that are women teachers are having sex with boys.
That is a pretty bad problem that's going on.
Yeah.
and you know, I posted something some time ago about how, you know, mothers, but, you know, when boys don't have fathers, you know, they become victims. Yeah. They become vulnerable, that these teachers are grooming these kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. What else? The idea of finance, right? And then the expectancy of them is too much. Like, you're expected to have this amount of wealth at this big amount of wealth in a short time period. Which is kind of almost too impossible to achieve. I know there are some anomalies may occur,
right?
But for the average person, like, they may not see that wealth until they like late 30, 40, even 50,
right?
You know what I'm saying? But you're expected to be a millionaire by 25.
And who's placing that expectation? I mean, the women?
Duh.
I mean, and what happens too is that the women have, you know, they're able to get jobs and keep them.
Yeah.
They're able to get help, and they're expecting a man at 25 who didn't get all that help to somehow have resources to give to them.
Right.
That is just crazy.
Especially if we're in the era of equal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I agree with you, because I hear a lot of these young women saying, oh, he has to make this because I'm making this. It's such a lack of awareness of what's happening in the world, yeah. A lack of financial, lack of ability to understand where, number one, the male species, the black man is, right. And what it takes to actually achieve certain things, if it ever happens, and not appreciating the black man unless it's on a financial and a transactional way.
Yeah, and the fact that he's also I read articles where black women are complaining like, I'm the only black woman in my firm where I see white man, white woman, you know, they see other races and their counterparts, and I'm like, that's crazy, because you're the only black woman there. Where's the black man? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they'll push that narrative, like the black one, like, you know, I'm the only one in my white collar firm. And I'm like, well, where's the black man? You know what I'm saying? Because a black man can probably, like, even though he may have the credentials to be in your business, that firm, but they still won't let him in.
No, they won't let him in. No.
They're going to let you in, but they ain't going to let me in.
Right. The black woman will do whatever she needs to do to serve, you know, her white bosses. That's the truth. Right, that's the truth. She'll never, and she won't advocate for a black man to be there.
Right.
She won't advocate for a black man, even when she has the ability to do that. She won't do it.
Right. So it's like men have to really, like, to a point, like, we just gonna have to say black men are oppressed. I mean, if you're a man, you're oppressed. Mm-hmm. Really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not this whole women are oppressed. It's like, really, it's the men that are oppressed.
Yeah, know? I don't think in particular black women, I'm talking about women overall, but I don't think in particular black women are oppressed. They are the oppressors.
Right.
That black women have become oppressors because, as I mentioned earlier, they get help.
Right.
But they act as if they have all the wealth. They don't have all the wealth, because black women have the highest student loan debt.
Yep.
They tend to be in debt a lot. Black women are in debt.
Right. A lot of debt.
A lot of debt.
You're talking about $350,000 student loans.
Yes.
Where black men might not even get half of that.
Half of that. Exactly.
Like, because they know the trick bag.
Exactly.
They go to a trade school for like 2 years and be like, you know, 8,000 by third, fourth year, you know?
Yes. And I'm seeing that a lot of black men are really paying attention to their finances.
Yes, we are.
Yes, and building up and focusing on their finances and being financially. I'm in the real estate investment world, and there are lots of black men in that world. When I say a lot, if you go in, you just don't see black. There's certain places where you go in. I'm also in the financial services business, and there are a lot of black men in that business as well, because they can control how their income.
Yeah, and they're spending.
And they're spending. They can control their wealth. They control their income. They can create their own path. They work for themselves, and they're able to build themselves up in real estate and finance.
Right.
So that's where the Black men are, and these Black women, what they think, you know, that what they have is anything, but they don't have anything, because if they weren't working, they probably wouldn't have any place to live. You know, they have to keep working for somebody else, keep working long hours and showing off about their traveling and wasting money on all that foolishness.
Yeah, women are like, they spend emotionally.
Yeah. That's it. They spend emotionally. And the other thing too is that I see Black women doing. I mean, I speak on Black women because, you know, we're Black and we're talking about what Black people's and how. But I see a lot of Black women traveling alone. That's the other thing. Going into other countries alone. Right. Which is extremely dangerous, right. I think. And it's expensive. So they are using up all their resources on an emotional basis to prove something, to compete with somebody else, rather than, you know, joining the Black man, finding that, you know, getting married and building a family together and putting your resources together and all that kinds of stuff.
Right. And men are easily being minimalist. We're natural minimalists, like, we don't need a whole lot.
exactly
like, we're pretty much give up stuff before we buy stuff. I want this, I want that.
Yeah,
that's if we do buy something, we're giving up stuff.
I know. I mean, my nephews are Black. I have nephews, and, you know, I see how they are. I mean, it's the money is not to be spent unless necessary.
Yeah.
They just have a different, you know, way of thinking of it. It's not about, and so the Black woman has gone so far from that. You know, in general, I speak in general, so far away from that, because all they talk about is what they can buy.
Right.
If all you see is what you can buy, and then when you get to a certain age and you think, oh my goodness, I better find a man to pay for it.
Right.
You know, and I always say, why should a man pay for when you have a job? But that's the other side of the issue, having to do with why, you know, it's important to talk about these things as, you know, Black conservatives. These are things that impact our community, which is why I talk about it.
Right.
The culture, the mindset, all of these things are important. And those things have to change. Those shifts have to happen, or our community will not exist, or the Black people will not exist. And I say our because I consider myself a Black American, even though I wasn't born here. You know, I understand, but it won't exist.
Right.
It has to be a shift in the mindset. You know?
But I'm gonna let you go. Again, I appreciate this podcast. We definitely gonna do another one.
Sure.
Keep doing what you're doing on Facebook. You're doing the Lord's work.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And you keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. You're doing the Lord's work as well.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Yeah. Until next time, guys, be amazing.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.